Well, hey, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we can turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we're going to be in today. And if you know anything about that, if you're familiar with Matthew chapter 6, it's the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is probably the most famous sermon ever in the Bible. Jesus is giving this sermon to a bunch of people, and he's elevated, and he's kind of flipping their expectations of what it means to follow God upside down. And so we're going to read that in chapter 6, what he does here. It says this, Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you that you have received your reward. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. And your Father who sees you will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received the reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray. And Father, we come before you and we pray that God, that you would teach us what you have for us today, and I pray that you would open up our hearts so that we're open to that. And Father, if there's something in our life that you're leading us towards, that you want us to change, I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray that you give us the wisdom and the courage to do that, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I am what some people would call a cheapskate. Okay, I do not like to spend money. Tammy said this phrase literally earlier this week. If I bring you to the store with me, I will spend less. Okay, so like I do not like to spend money, and I don't know why that is. My parents spend money. It's not how I grew up, but I just worked really hard as a teenager, and I didn't have a whole lot. So I don't know, but one of those ways that we save money is by going to Aldi, and Aldi is really great. It's got some really good groceries, but it's also got some very, very generic groceries, and there's certain things that you just don't buy generic of. One of those things is Doritos. I don't know if you guys like Doritos. I love Doritos. I could eat a whole bag of Doritos, so long as they're name brand, okay? I don't know what it is about the tortilla chip with the baked on, like, fake cheese. It's delicious, okay? But there's something about generic Doritos that just don't taste right, right? You open it up, and you're like, oh, this is going to be great, and you bite into it, and you're just like, ugh. Maybe that's like a diet plan. I don't know. Maybe I should just buy generic ones because I only eat one generic Dorito instead of the whole bag of normal Doritos. I don't know. One of those other ways we save money is by shopping or by going out to get pizza sometimes, but we get it from Marco's. And I don't know if you know about Marco's. It's great. I promise they're not paying me. This is not an advertisement, but may sound like one. You get a large two-topping for $8.99. It's great. And then I fill out the receipt. There's a little survey on the back of the receipt. You can get from some free cheesy bread if you fill that out, and they'll give you a free movie rental. It's great. But let me tell you, their whole thing about Marco's is authentic Italian pizza. I got the picture up there. Authentic. That's literally what they call themselves. And if you're expecting authentic Italian pizza when you bite into a slice of Marco's pizza, you're going to be sorely disappointed because it's barely above Little Caesars or Chuck E. Cheese pizza, okay? This is just your run-of-the-mill, normal, ordinary pizza. And when you get up close and personal with it, you're like, this is not authentic Italian pizza. This is just run-of-the-mill pizza. And you know, I think about our lives as Christians too. And when people get up close and personal with us, and we say we're authentic people, we love Jesus. We say, hey, we're really doing this thing. We're not just Christians. We don't love Jesus just on Sunday mornings. We do it all 168 hours of the week, not just the one on Sunday mornings. When people get up close and personal with us, are they realizing the same thing? They realize, oh wait, you're just ordinary, run-of-the-bill person. You're not any different because of what Jesus has done for you. And let me just give a quick caveat here in 1 John 1:8. It says this, if we say to ourselves we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, let me tell you, as a Christian, we're always going to sin. It's just how it is. That's why we need Jesus. If we could do this thing on our own, we didn't need Jesus, then God would have never sent him, but he did. And we'll never be sinless as long as we live. But through Jesus, we can act a whole lot differently. And so I'm not talking about being sinless or being this perfect person, I guess what I'm getting at is what Brennan Manning writes. He's a Christian author. He says this: the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That's what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. I'm getting to this idea, and I think this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6. What it means to follow Jesus means it's going to affect every single aspect of your life. The words that you say, the thoughts that you think, the way that you treat strangers. Being a follower of Jesus means your entire life is different. It doesn't mean that you're perfect, but it means you're different because of what Jesus has done for you. And so I got thinking about this, and I think what Jesus is getting at is, how do you live an authentic life for him? He gives us these two examples, right? Giving and praying. And he says, hey, if you're going to give to the needy, that's awesome, but you don't need to go out to the street corners and proclaim it and saying, oh, look at me, look at what I'm doing. And then he brings up this idea of prayer, right? And he says, hey, if you're going to pray, that's awesome, but you don't need to do it in front of all these other people and say, oh, look at me, look how good I can pray, look at the lofty words that I can use. When I read that for the first time, I'm not going to lie, I thought of like the old King James language, right, as we pray. And there's nothing wrong about the old King James language, but what I think that Jesus is getting at is, hey, you don't have to use like code words to talk to me. Every other word doesn't have to end with ith, right? Oh, Lord, ith giveth me ith. Right, we don't need to do that to come to Jesus. All we have to do is say, hey God, this is what I need. And this is what Jesus says, that God knows what's already in your heart. That's a great thing, to come before God and just say, hey, just be real and just say, hey God, this is what I'm facing. Would you help me through this? And so I think what Jesus is getting at essentially is asking this question: why do you do what you do, and who do you do it for? And ultimately, how do we live authentic lives for Christ? Because that's what it all boils down to, right? Is living this real life for Jesus that affects every single aspect of our life, every moment of our life. Not that we're ever going to be perfect, but how do we live authentically for Christ? How do we do that? Well, I think this passage gives us three ways to live an authentic life for Christ. Number one, be humbly motivated and be motivated by God alone. Let me tell you, I think the people that Jesus is talking about in this passage have left their motivation at the door. They've said, hey, you know what? God, that's great that you've done this for us. But you know what? I'm going to choose to be motivated by how I look towards others and my reputation in front of other people. That's what they got off. They're saying, hey, don't pray. Don't give like that. Because your motive isn't how you look in front of other people. Your motive should be what God has done in your life. Let me tell you this story. When I was saved as a real little kid and in Sunday school, but it didn't really mean a whole lot to my life, right? The Sunday school teacher literally said, if you don't want to go to hell, you have to love Jesus. And so I said, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I love Jesus, right? And so that was kind of like my conversion experience, but it didn't really do anything to my life. I wasn't really changed. Jesus didn't have a hold of my thoughts and my actions and the way I treat people until I was 16 years old. I was in high school, and we went to this youth conference, and the speaker, I remember God really speaking through the speaker there and just saying, all right, God, all right, Josh. God is speaking to me, saying, all right, Josh, if you're going to do this thing, you can't just show up to church every Sunday and Wednesday night at youth group. You got to really do it. You got to really live it out. You got to have it affect your entire life. And I remember shortly after that, our youth group went sledding or tubing down this big hill, right? And you do this inner tube thing. And the thing about inner tubes is, like, they're slippery, and that's how you go down the hill, right? Like, it's a lot of fun. But sometimes if you're not careful, your inner tube can go before you, and it can go whoop, and you're like, oh, that was my inner tube. And it's gone, right? And so what you gotta yell at people at the bottom, hey, bro, can you help me bring that up when you come up? And I was one of those guys, and somebody yelled at me, and I go, pfft. I'm not going to help you. I got my own inner tube here. And I remember my youth pastor in high school, he calls me out on it. He goes, hey, Josh, if you really love Jesus, you got to love others too. And that means you're going to grab the inner tube. And I remember thinking, oh, you're right. I got to do that. And I think the older that we become and the longer that we are Christians, the easier it is to fall into this tendency. If you're anything like me, I've fallen into this tendency before. To live this life that is much shallower than what we believe. And if we're going to be motivated by God and God alone, that helps us to avoid this tendency to live a much shallower life than what we say we believe on Sunday mornings. And that helps us to live this authentic life for Christ. Think about what Jesus has done for you. He's given his life for you. And the more that you keep that in your mind, the more that you keep that in front of you every single moment of every day, the easier it is to say, hey, you know what? I'm not motivated by how I look in front of others. I'm not motivated by my own reputation. I'm solely motivated by Jesus and what he has done in my life. And it affects every single aspect of my life. And it changes the way that I live my life. You ever go through a dry spell in your faith where you just feel like, I don't know, me and God, we're just not clicking. And I'm spending the time and I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm checking off the list. And I just don't know what to do. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. Say, all right, Jesus, you have died for me. And you know what? That affects the way that I live my life. And you know what? If we're going to be solely motivated by him, we got to keep that in the forefront of our mind. John 10:10 says this. Jesus is talking. He says, the thief comes only to kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus didn't come just so that we would have eternal life. He came as well so that we would have a brand new life here on earth. And that's what he's talking about when he says, I've come that I may give you life and life abundantly. You might have a brand new life right here on earth. And that means living an authentic life for Christ. So number one, it's be humbly motivated by God. What else does this passage have? Well, I think it speaks to living accountable to God's word. If we're going to live an authentic life for Jesus, we have got to live accountable to his word. You ever hear people say something like this? Well, I'm just doing what's right for me, and you can do what's right for you. Or maybe I'm just doing what makes me happy and other people happy. Or, you know, I'm just kind of listening to my own conscience, and I'm going to do my own thing, and you do your own thing, and that's great, and we're all right, right? Well, yeah, but here's the problem with that. If you're living in a way that's contradictory to the way that I live my life, they both can't be right. They both can't be. I think about it like this. Clocks, time. We can't just all set our time to whatever time that we want to. There's an atomic clock that's always right. It's something with science and neutrons and protons. I don't know. I'm not a science guy, but I know that it's always right. And if we all set our clocks to that one, we can all have this standard of time. And then that way, when we say, hey, we're going to show up at 10:45 and worship Jesus together, that means we're all showing up around the same time, right? Like, we can't just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to set my clock to 8 p.m. right now, and that's correct, right? Like, no, you're wrong, right? Like, and so we have to have this standard for our life. And as a Christian, we say, hey, you know what? This standard, this is truth. God's word is truth no matter what. And we're going to follow it. And you know what? We got to follow it and be in it every single day to know, hey, God, what you have in your word, I want that to play out in my life. I want what is happening in my life to jive with your word, God. And so I got to spend some time in this and just ask God, hey, you know what? What is it in my life? What is it in my life that doesn't quite live up to what you have, God? What is it in my life that I'm not doing quite right? And so living accountable to God's word can help us to live an authentic life because we're saying, hey, you know what? It's not all about me. I'm not making up the rules. God makes up the rules, and I'm going to live by his principles found in his word and his word alone. Here's the other thing that living accountable to God's word does for us is it gives us a little bit of assurance and it gives us a little bit of peace of mind. Here's what I mean by that. You ever hear a person ask this question? I don't know if I'm really going to heaven. I don't know. See, Susie, she reads her Bible 7 hours a day. And I can only read it six, and I just don't know. Is that good enough? I don't know if I'm good enough for God. I don't know if he's going to love me. I feel like I'm going to die, and I'm going to get up to the pearly gates, and God's going to say, hey, you're not good enough. You didn't read your Bible 7 hours a day, and you're out. No. Hey, you know what? It gives us some peace and assurance to say, whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever. Just to say, hey, you know what? I don't have to have this worry and this anxiety in my life. I know that I'm living for God, and that's good enough. And so not only does it get us all on the same page, not only does it make not us our own God, but it makes God our God, it also gives us some assurance just to live accountable to God's word. Let me tell you something. If the people that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6 would have lived accountable to God's word, they wouldn't have found their focus to be, oh, look at me, look at me, look at what I'm doing. They would have said, hey, you know what? That doesn't really jive with Scripture. And so, you know, I think I got to change something about my life. If we want to live authentically for Jesus, we got to live accountable to God's word. So how else do we live accountable? The last and final step, I think, is to make God's priorities your priorities. Let me put it like this. Tammy and I, we just graduated from college a few years ago. And I don't know if you remember, or maybe you're in that stage right now, or maybe you're looking forward to that, or you remember that stage of your life, but you don't have a ton of money, right? And you have some loans, you have some debt you're trying to take care of. And so here's a priority that Tammy and I said that we want to make happen for our family, that we want to live debt-free. We want to make a priority to pay off all the loans. And you know what? Maybe that means making some sacrifices. One of those sacrifices is our cars. I don't know about you guys, if you're a car person or not, but I love Jeep Wranglers. Like, I love Jeeps. I've had a couple, and here's a great, let me just take 30 seconds to tell you how great Jeeps are, right? Like, you can take the top off in the summer, but then you get four-wheel drive for the winter, and you can take the doors off, and it's, and probably not in the winter, but in the summertime, but these things are awesome, right? I've had two of these things. They're sweet. I don't have one right now because they're really, really expensive. Even a 20-year-old Jeep with, like, 250,000 miles is, like, $5,000. That's really expensive because I get a lot cheaper of a car that gets better gas mileage, is cheaper to insure, and is cheaper to fix up, that is going to fix with, or going to fit with my family's priorities to live debt-free and to save up for the things that we want instead of living constantly in debt. And so when we talk about God's priorities, it changes how we live our life. It is inconsistent for us to say, Jesus, we love you so much. We can't believe what you've done for us. And we just want to live in accountable to you. And we thank you so much, Jesus. That's incompatible if we don't make our priorities God's priorities. If we go around saying, you know what, that would be great if God would call me to that. But you know what, I'm not. That's good for other people. You know, that's good for the church leaders. That's good for the pastors. Why don't they do that? And so that's incompatible to say, hey, if Jesus really has done this great thing for you, it's got to affect your priorities, even down to your preferences, not just as individuals, but also as a church. As a church, we have to say, hey, you know what, God, what your priorities, what your preferences are, that's going to win. Ours are just going to take a back seat. Churches have got off focus here. They've said, you know what? We're going to fight over chairs versus pews. We're going to fight over worship styles. We're going to fight over the color of the carpet. That's not God's focus for us. God's focus is this. It's found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Maybe you know it as the Great Commission. But Jesus calls us to go and make disciples. God calls us to do that. That is our focus. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God's heart is that every single person that walks the face of the planet comes into a loving, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That needs to be our focus. That needs to be our priority. Doesn't mean that people, Christians can't have nice things. It doesn't mean we can't spend money, but it does mean, you know what, God, your priorities, they take the precedent. They come first, and my preferences come second. And that happens not only in our individual life, but here as a church as well. There may be some things at church that, you know what, maybe we're really glued to it. And let me just give you an example from my life. If I had it my way all across the board, we'd be listening to like folk music, and there'd be like a banjo up here. I don't know why it's goofy. I don't know why I'm that way, but it just is. But you know what? That probably isn't going to work with most people to connect them with God, is it? And so, you know what? We can take our preferences and go, you know what? That's just a preference that I have. Scripture doesn't mandate that we use certain instruments. Scripture doesn't mandate that we use a certain style of music. It mandates that we worship Jesus and Jesus alone. And so some of our priorities, some of our preferences are going to have to take a back seat if we're going to authentically follow Jesus with everything that we have. And so I don't know what God is speaking to you about this morning, to live an authentic life for him. Maybe it's a priority or a preference that you have. Maybe it's living accountable to his word. Maybe it's getting in the word more so that you know what his word says. Or maybe it's simply saying, all right, God, you're my motivation behind everything that I do. Whatever it is, the band's going to come on up. They're going to sing this song, Lord, I Need You. And what an awesome song to sing after this message, right? To say, God, you're all that I need. Nothing about this other stuff. But as we sing this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just pray to God. Just say, all right, God, what is it that you have for me this morning? What is it that I need to change in my life? What is it that you have for me, God? So as the band comes up, why don't we just pray about that? And let me pray for us as they get started with the song here. Father, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. And God, if there's something that you're leading us to change, God, if we need to do something differently in our life, Father, I pray that we'd have the wisdom and the courage to do that. I pray that your priorities would be our priorities, Jesus. I pray that we would live in accordance to your word, that we would hold each other accountable to your word. I pray that our motivations would be solely from you, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name.